This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our reading today is all about the tender heart of God and his longing for the lost to come home. So here's our first song, which reflects this theme. The words take me back to my childhood, as it was one of my auntie's best-loved songs, sung by her favourite singer of all time, Jim Reeves. She would say to us, "Come, sit down and listen to this." It's strange, isn't it, how some songs stick in your mind over the years. This version of the song, Softly and Tenderly, which I've chosen for you, is sung here by Reba McEntire, along with Kelly Clarkson and Tricia Yearwood. Come home, it says. Come home.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come.
There's a creature who's gone astray in our Bible story today. It's in no position to come home. It's lost, probably trapped, and in need of a rescue. I'm reading from Luke 15, beginning to read at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I heard a story once of a lad who worked in a ship's galley. It was the boy's job to keep the galley clean and to throw out the scraps into the sea, and this he did at the same time each morning. One day at breakfast, someone noticed he was missing. The boat was searched and he was nowhere to be found. The captain was told about the lad, and so he commanded the boat to sail on for a while until they could clearly see by the wash exactly which direction they were coming from. He asked what time the boy went missing, and the ship was turned around and returned to the area, and everyone was told to look out for him. After a short while, someone saw a small speck in the waves not far away, and it was indeed the boy, still alive. As they scooped him out of the water, they asked him what had kept him going and how he'd survived his ordeal. And he replied, "I knew the captain would come back for me. I know he's that kind of person." I knew the captain would come back for me. Here was a captain not unlike the shepherd in our Bible reading today. Also, we hear just how important that one lad was to that captain. He is the Lord's my shepherd, Stuart Townend.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. My ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will. Trust in you alone,
Sheep were an essential and important economic asset in those days. Their meat was served at feasts and banquets, their wool was made into clothing, and this creature was the most favoured as a sacrifice. So if one was lost, it was the shepherd's job to track it down until it was found. He was expected to give his life for the sheep, should he encounter wild animals. If a sheep had perished, it was also his duty to bring back home the fleece as proof it was dead. The shepherd also knew the name of each sheep. He called them by their names, and the sheep knew him, and followed him as he led them to better pastures. An Old Testament scholar called George Adam Smith, who knew Palestine very well in his time, once wrote this about the nature of the shepherd there, saying, "On some high moor, across which at night the hyenas howl, when you meet him, sleepless, far-sighted, weather-beaten, armed, leaning on his staff and looking out over his scattered sheep, every one of them on his heart, you understand why the shepherds of Judea sprang to the front in his people's history, why they gave his name to the king and made him the symbol of providence, and why Christ took him as the model of self-sacrifice." Let's listen to Ferdinand Ortega in our next hymn, singing, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul."
Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, my helpless soul on thee. Leave, ah, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head shadow of thy wing. Start all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Thank you. just grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life, the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
There was a real openness about Jesus. He was approachable. In John chapter 3, verse 17, we are told that Jesus came not to judge the world, but to save it. The untouchables of the day and the waifs and strays all flocked to him. He spoke words of hope to them. They saw compassion in his deeds, and they heard great wisdom in his words. Not like the self-righteous leaders of the day who demanded perfect adherence to the laws, who had no kind words to say to those who went astray. These leaders looked down upon the lost and counted them as worthless. They also believed they themselves would become contaminated by associating with them, which is why they were so very shocked by Jesus' attitude towards such people. No, these people were dead to them. Such behaviour drove away those most in need of God's mercy and love. Have we ever been guilty of doing the same? Have we ever driven people away through our judgments, or our criticism, or our gossip? How can we demonstrate the Father's heart to those who are lost? How can we help blind people see what is true? Here's one of the best versions of the most famous hymn of all, Amazing Grace, sung here by Judy Collins.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace
already gone.
Finally, let us just for a second put ourselves in place of that distressed sheep on that steep hillside, or even that boy who fell overboard into the water. Let's imagine for a moment our terror and panic, our fragility, our desperate longing to be rescued. Imagine crying out to be given a second chance, to be saved, to be given the chance to live again. And then all of a sudden we hear the sound of a familiar voice coming close. Someone comes along who firmly plucks us out of harm's way, lifts us out of the danger, and scoops us into his arms. Just imagine that feeling of relief, of being enfolded and held firmly, of becoming warm and sleepy, knowing that we're in safe, strong arms once again. Then we hear our name being whispered. This rescuer actually cares about us. He's carrying us home. It's never too late for anyone to turn their lives around and walk in the way of faith. The story does have a happy ending. The sheep is brought home and everyone rejoices. Luke sums up Jesus' teaching that day by writing, "I tell you, in that same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." In this passage of scripture today, Jesus may also have been referring to a country rather than merely to one lost individual. For he grieved over the people of Jerusalem, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." So this morning we remember all countries of our world, particularly our own at this time, praying that peace, harmony and justice will reign through these troubled times. We pray also for leaders of our world to be inspirational, full of integrity and wisdom and common sense, dedicated and focused, just like the shepherd in our story today. So in our final hymn, we give thanks to the one who is our King of Love, our shepherd, our provider and protector. It's sung here by Maranatha Celtic, and it goes like this. "The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever." Do have a good week, everyone, and every blessing to those listening from a hospital bed this morning. It's goodbye from Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And from me, Sheila Hamill. Bye for now.
Who's